Today on Bold Steps with Mark Job, we're talking about what to do when you don't know what to do.
If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, it's not about a church that you attend. It's not about just reading the Bible. It's not about having some memorized prayer. It's about closeness to your Creator. You need to make sure that you are drawing near to God.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Job. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute and senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Mark, it seems like everywhere we look, there is trouble, and it's causing many of us to feel like we're in a rut. We're stuck there. Yet as Christians, we know there is always hope.
There is, Wayne, always hope. But there are times in our life where we are so under pressure, so confused, so overwhelmed, so stressed out that we throw our hands up in the air and say, I don't know what to do. As a pastor, I've had those conversations dozens of times, even in the last few months, people saying, I just don't know what to do. And so this message is for you. If you don't know what to do, the first thing you do is you lean into God. And you're going to discover what you'll find when you lean into God. So if you don't know what to do right now, I know exactly where you need to start. You need to start by coming to the presence of God.
All right, let's start leaning now. Today's message comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 10. It's titled, guess what? What to do when you don't know what to do.
I'd like for you to take your Bibles today and turn. If you have a Bible, a physical Bible, you can turn in your digital Bible. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. I want to talk to you about what to do when you don't know what to do. Have you ever been in a circumstance where you say, I just don't know what to do? I had a conversation recently with someone that was telling me how challenging this past season has been. They went on to tell me how their life had been disrupted like everybody else's life. They didn't feel as connected to community as they were before. They had a son that was struggling. They were worried about economics. They were talking about how spiritually they just felt like they were in a slump and just not in a good place. And just life has felt very strange to them. And they ended the conversation by saying, I just don't know what to do. And so today in Hebrews chapter 10, I believe that the writer of the Hebrews is answering that question about what to do when you don't know what to do. In fact, we have some things in common with the writer of the Hebrews that this letter is directed to. Many of you know that the Bible is made up of 66 different books compiled together over a season of time, inspired by God, put into a canon process, and we call it the Bible. The Bible means the book. And the book is a compilation of 66 books written over quite a span of time, but viewed by scholars and early church fathers as the inspired word of God. And so the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews. The authorship is not quite clear. Many people believe it was the Apostle Paul, but I'll just call it the writer of the Hebrews. But he's writing to a group of people who had been under a lot of stress. In fact, they had suffered. They had been under a lot of persecution for being Christians. And some of them were falling away. Some of them were struggling. Some of them were saying, I don't know if I want to continue to follow Jesus. Some of them were saying, I want to continue to follow, but they had actually started to drift away. And so the writer of the Hebrews is challenging them. He's encouraging them to continue to persevere, to not give up, to not throw in the towel, so to speak. and to continue on during this turbulent season. Before I read this verse, starting in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10, I was thinking to myself that for some people, it's been the perfect storm. Think about it. 16, 17 months ago, we were introduced to a virus, a global pandemic that basically told people, hey, you can't gather together with other people. And so everybody had to stay at home for a while. Churches were, we weren't able to meet like we normally meet, so people went online. So the very thing that sometimes keeps you strong, community, fellowship, that was sort of taken away. Some of you are real huggers, and it was like, no, you can't hug now. Some of you, the way that you feel connected is, hey, bro, and it was like, hey, bro, high five over there. And so suddenly you were disconnected from people. Many people disconnected from their jobs, working out of their home offices or working out of home. And then to exasperate the issue of being isolated, you had something else that worked just as difficult on your psyche and your mind and your soul, and that is called the television or the news feed. Because in the midst of that, our country happened to be going through one of the most volatile political seasons, and so people were just, you turn on the news and it is one side against the other, nonstop fighting and polarization and dividing the country between us versus them, right versus left, this side, that side. And it was hard to not to keep yourself from sort of falling into one side against the other enemy. And so you're at home with a constant feed. I've had some people said, I had to repent of watching so much news because I got sucked into it. How many of you know the feeling? So you're isolated from people, nonstop news of a divided country, and if that weren't enough, then you add to that the racial tension that existed over this past, especially several months, that started to bubble up to the surface, and now it was not only political division, isolation, but racial tension across the country. And then add to that the economy and people, do we go back to work? Do we not go back to work? And so we've had the perfect mix to isolate people, divide people, discourage people, disconnect people. What do you do when you don't know what to do? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It's important that you listen to this because, especially when you're discouraged and you don't know what to do, sometimes we do things that worsen our discouragement or our disconnection. Verse 19 says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. There are three clear steps that the writer of the Hebrews is telling believers that during times of tension, they need to take in order to survive. When they don't know what to do, here are three clear things that every believer, especially during difficult times, needs to do. Number one, have confidence to draw near to God. Let me say this. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you are a Christian, it's not about a church that you attend. It's not about just reading the Bible. It's not about having some memorized prayer. It's about closeness to your Creator. It's about relationship with God. And some of us are believers, but we're not accessing what we have, drawing near to God. How many of you know that you can be a Christian and not feel near to God? You can have prayed a prayer and read your Bible, but not necessarily understand that you can be near to God. I know believers that walk as though God were 1,000 miles away. And the writer of the Hebrews is saying, hey, during this time, especially during this time, you need to make sure that you are drawing near to God. I can hear you almost now saying, well, Pastor, I want to be close to God, but I just feel like something's there. I want my heart to be on fire. I want to be in that place, but I don't know. Something's missing. Something's gone. I feel like I'm in a weird state, and I come to church, but it's hard to worship. I try to pray, and I get distracted. I read my Bible, and before I know it, my mind is wandering. I don't know how to get there. Well, I'm glad you ask. So let's look at what the writer of the Hebrews is telling us. There's a couple interesting things he's telling us. First of all, I want you to understand that he's telling the Hebrew believers that they need to understand they have access and clearance to the presence of God. They have access and clearance into the room that is the most powerful room in the universe, the room of God's presence.
You're listening to the Bible teaching of Mark Job, and maybe today's message has inspired you to go deeper in your biblical study. If that is the case, let me invite you to sign up for a free devotional email from Mark. It's called the Bold Stepper Weekly, and it arrives directly to your inbox each Monday morning. To sign up for this free resource, go to our website, boldstepsradio.org. And when you visit our website, by the way, you can also listen to past programs. You can share your Be Bold story or even ask Mark a question. Once again, all the details are online at boldstepsradio.org. Right now, let's get back into the second half of today's message with Mark Job here on Bold Steps.
Have you ever been somewhere where someone stopped you and said, hey, you don't have clearance? Or you didn't go inside and say, no, you don't have access to this area. That ever happened to you? It means that you are not authorized to go into this area. You have not been cleared to go in. And they'll stop you and say, hey, no. Let me see your credentials to get in. That ever happened to anybody here? Or you walk into a place and someone say, hey, sir, where are you going? You look around like, oh, where's your card? Or where's your, no, get out. Go on that side. I was just recently traveling, and I was in line. And I travel so much, I have like a you have to go through global entry, and they give you this card that allows you to skip some of the lines because they do a search on your background, make sure you're cleared. And so it cuts down the line. And I was in one of those lines, and a lady had been waiting, and she got up, and the TSA agent at the airport said, ma'am, you don't have clearance. This isn't your line. You have to go. And he showed her this big, long line she had to go to. She was not happy. But what the writer of the Hebrews wants the believers to know, and I want you to understand today, is this. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence, confidence is that assurance, that ability, that authority, that knowledge to enter into the most high place, that you have confidence. You don't have to go to the throne room of God with tentative fear, wondering, am I supposed to go? Can I go? Am I allowed to go in there? No, he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that you have confidence. You can have this sense of authority that when you go there, you are given access. Confidence means I'm not going to be turned away. Confidence means I don't get to the door and say, hey, can I come in? Confidence means I go to the door and open it up and say, I know I can come in. I have the right to come into this place. I have confident access to where? To the, listen, he says, to the most holy place. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. You see, I sinned yesterday. I fell. I was driving in Chicago traffic, and I swore. So I don't know if I come, God's going to say, hey, there, you foul mouth, you stay out of here. No, it's not about your holiness. It's not about your righteousness. Listen, you have access to the most holy place by what? By the blood of Jesus. Now, what does that mean by the blood of Jesus? It means by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. It means that Jesus died to pay a price that you couldn't pay, to give you a clearance that you couldn't earn, to give you the power that you did not deserve, to take away the wrath of God from upon you, and actually to become righteousness for you. So it's not about you. It's about the sacrifice done on your behalf. It's about the sacrifice of Jesus. And so it says in verse 20, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. You see, the Jewish believers had a temple mindset or mentality about the presence of God, a temple mindset. In the Jewish tradition, the only people that had access to the Holy of Holies was the high priest. There was a mammoth temple that was built, and the regular people had access to the open courts, but there was the Holy of Holies that represented the presence of God, and there was a thick 4-inch curtain that was 60 feet high and 4 inches thick that separated the regular people from the Holy of Holies. Once a year, in the Jewish festival or season called the Day of Atonement, the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies. He would enter in with fear and trembling. As he would go into this place, legend says that they would tie a rope around his feet, around his ankle, just in case he had not done everything correct, that he could be struck dead, and then they would just pull his body out of the Holy of Holies because no one was allowed to enter. It was such a sacred, holy place, the presence and the power of God. Inside of that room called the Holy of Holies, the inner part of the temple was the Ark of the Covenant with the tablets of the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, and a pot of manna inside. But it was the Holy of Holies. So the Jewish people had been trained to have a mindset that the only person that can go into the Holy of Holies is the high priest. And he can only go in once a year, and I hope he survives. So the writer of Hebrews is blowing their mind by telling them this. You have confidence to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, since we have a great high priest over the house of God. Now, some of you that are believers already know this, but do you remember what happened when Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary? Do you remember what happened? Oh, there was quite a few things that happened. The earth turned dark, thunderstorms arose, graves were open, but something happened in the temple that was symbolic, powerful, that would point to a message that would bring truth for you and I. Because on the day that Jesus died on the cross, that thick veil that existed to separate people from the Holy of Holies, it tells us in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, at that moment, the moment that Jesus breathed his last, at that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, the earth shook, the rock split. Why? Because what God was saying is from now on, notice it wasn't torn from the bottom to the top, because that would symbolize that man tore it. It was torn from the top to the bottom, symbolizing that God was tearing it. He didn't just move it aside. We have curtains in the back that when service starts, we move them over. We slide them over. They didn't fold the curtains and put it to the side for another season. They didn't just put it to the side. They ripped the curtain from the top to the bottom by the hand of God, symbolizing from this day forward. It's not just the high priest that has access to the throne of God. It's not just that one person on the Day of Atonement that can come into the Holy of Holies. From this day forward, every believer in Jesus, every person that's been washed because Jesus paid the price, can now go into the very Holy of Holies and talk to God and walk with God with confidence, know that their prayers are heard and listened to by the Most High God of the universe. It's powerful. Spurgeon, who was an English preacher, he said it this way: for believers, the veil was not rolled up, but was torn. The veil was not unhooked and carefully folded and put away so that it may be put in place for some future time. Oh no. But the divine hand of God took it and tore it from top to bottom. It can never be hung up again. That is impossible. Between those who are in Christ Jesus and the great God, there will never be another separation. What am I telling you? I'm telling you this. If you have been washed in the blood of Jesus, there is no condemnation to those that are in Christ. You can enter into the presence of God with boldness and confidence, knowing that He hears your prayer and answers you and listens, that you have access to God Almighty because of the work of Jesus. That should make you want to bow at the foot of the cross and say, "Thank you, Lord, for doing what I could never do on my own." If you are a Christian and you are not walking close to God, oftentimes it's because of guilt or shame or a feeling of rejection, or I'm not worthy, or I can't stand before Him. Those are lies of the enemy. You have been bought, purchased, washed, and cleansed.
Well, Mark, thank you for such a powerful message today on what to do when we don't know what to do. You're listening to Bold Steps. And if you're looking for convenient ways to listen to the program again, or if you'd like to catch up on messages you may have missed, be sure to check out the Moody Radio app. You can also download the Bold Steps podcast or listen to the MP3 audio file directly from our website. Just go to boldstepsradio.org. Now, if you're reaching what some call the golden years, or if you know someone who is, I'm sure you're thinking about what's to come, and that's why Mark is excited about the contents of our latest Bold Step gift.
On our list of things we can't live without, hope is one that we often forget. Yet without hope, a real confidence assurance of what's ahead, many of us would simply stop moving. But no matter where you are, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you've gone through, I'd like to send you a book called The Case for Hope, Looking Ahead with Confidence and Courage. Author Lee Strobel brings his trademark investigative approach to the fundamental subject of hope as he shows us why Jesus Christ is the hope we need and how the hope of the Lord will change our lives for the better. Again, the book is called The Case for Hope, and I'll be happy to send you a copy when you give a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. And as the year comes to a close, let me just thank everyone out there who has partnered with the ministry of Bold Steps. Your prayers, your financial gifts, they're so important to our team. And as we confidently and courageously look ahead to 2022, can we count on you to stand with us in our efforts to reach more people with the hope of Jesus? Thank you in advance.
To give and request your copy of Nearing Home by Billy Graham, just write to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Or if it's easier, you can call us too. The number is 844-615-7363. You can request the book when you give online at boldstepsradio.org. And thanks for joining us today. I'm Wayne Shepherd, inviting you to come back again tomorrow when Mark talks about steps we can take during difficult times and how we can develop the confidence to approach God. We're continuing with part two of our message called What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do, and you won't want to miss it. So be listening Wednesday for more Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.